Thank you. We're going to continue in our series. The title of the series is Satan Targets Your Dreams. Now, I want to talk to the people that actually fast-forwarded through all the worship and all the announcements and the offering to get to right here. Because I want to talk to you for a minute. You're missing a lot. You're missing worship. You're missing the announcements, which are important, because you don't know what's going on. You don't know that we have a youth event coming up. You don't know that we have a night of prayer coming up. You don't know that there's some needs in this house that need to be taken care of. You don't know, because you fast forward to this part, and this is where you start. You don't know that if you had the band app, that the notes I always refer to, they're on that app under the calendar under today. You don't know that because you don't listen. You know, I try not to waste people's time, but we try to give information. So I will say to you that now stop if you're going, rewind, finish up worship, and then go into the rest of the service. And because basically you don't know what's going on. Now, if you're just coming here to hear the word, that's fine. But if this is your church, you need to know what's going on. Is that okay? Amen. Well, I know y'all know what's going on because you're here. But, all right, so the title of today's message is Never Give Up on Your Dreams. Say it with me. Never give up on your dreams. This is part two of the series. We know that John 10:10, well, somebody tell me, what does John 10:10 say? The thief comes, the only reason he comes is what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, though, what? I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. All right, so we know that. Many people have dreams. And they have these things they want to do with their lives. But very few people see them come to pass. Now, I'm already in the insert. I'm already on number one of page one of your thing. Will your dreams be fulfilled or are they just going to be lost? And the answer will be determined by your attitude. And a lot of what I'm teaching since the spring is I'm just trying to teach about hope. There is so much negativity in the world. You know, my one little voice, I don't know how much difference it'll make, but you are not going to hear negativity in this place. We are a place that is positive. We are hopeful. We have dreams. But it all comes down to your attitude. And right now, people's attitude in a lot of people, it stinks. I mean, it's just bad. And we need to get past that. Fulfillment of your dream is a result of an aggressive, positive attitude. Failure is a result of a passive, negative attitude. I'm telling you, Christian, you cannot afford to be passive today. Today is not passive time. You know, if everything's going great and everything, and you decide to be passive for, you know, 5 minutes, okay. You can't let down your guard for a minute today. You just cannot. And there are three types of people in this world. You've heard these before. There's aggressive people, and I want to be one of these people. People who go and make things happen. There's passive people, people that hope things happen. And then there's wanderers, people that wonder what happened. And you need to determine that you will be one who goes out and make things happen. And since you've become a believer, I'm sure that God has dropped some things in your heart. You may not even know they're from Him, but I'm sure He's dropped things in your heart. And you've probably followed through on some of those things and let some of those things go. Number two on your insert. Well, this morning, I want to challenge you to give some thought to the dreams that God has given you. Have you ever written them down? If you have you aggressively pursued their fulfillment? Do you check them off so you know what God's accomplished in your life? Don't just settle for a life with no purpose. Man, there's too many people out there. They're just going through life. I am not going to go through life. I'm taking life. And even though it may appear that your dreams are never going to come to pass, don't you sit and allow the devil to steal from you. What did I just say to you? Don't sit and let the devil steal from you. You cannot afford to do that. When you know that you've heard from God and you've received direction from Him, then this thing, this zeal will rise up inside of you. And there's just something about hearing from God. And once you receive it, you can never again be passive about what He's told you to do. But understand that once you start towards that dream, the devil's going to throw everything he's got at you. He is going to tell you it'll never work. He's going to bring people across you, people you like, people you dislike, relatives. He's going to do everything he can to try to cause you to get off track and to fail. But once you realize that you have authority in the name of Jesus, you will become bold in your stand of faith. And once you find out that by His stripes you were healed, you can no longer remain passive about sickness. Revelation knowledge concerning your right to live in health demands. It demands that you attack that sickness with the authority that has been given you through His Word. Number three on your insert. We have a covenant with God, which promises that, or a contract, you could say, with God. And it promises that He will take care of us, so we cannot be passive about what is rightfully ours. And likewise, once you find out that God has a purpose for your life, you got to go for it. You just got to pick up you got to pull those big girl panties up, and you got to get after it. You got to stop being passive. You got to start being aggressive. You have to fulfill what God has called you to do and quit wondering it and debating. You got to get after it. Get yourself going. You must pursue His dreams for your life. Acts 3:19-21. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through His holy prophets. All right, now I'm going to continue over on page 2 now. God's ready to restore some things from you today. He wants to restore to you everything that Satan has stolen from you, including your dreams. Now, when we talk about restoration, we don't talk about restoration the way the world talks about restoration. You guys know this. The world sees restoration as replacement. You know, I lost this, it was restored. That is not God's definition of restoration. God's definition of restoration is what was taken from you is replaced plus compensation. What was taken from you plus compensation, that is restoration in God's view. It's not just, don't you settle. See, you remember the story about the woman with the issue of blood, right? She's a daughter of Abraham, right? Remember that she said she heard about Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus. And she said, if I can just go touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. Everybody remember that story? So she broke the law because she was considered unclean. She could have been stoned for what she did. She headed down the street. She worked her way through the crowd, which was a big no-no for her. She touches the hem of His garment in faith. Immediately, the anointing of God flowed out of Him into her, and her body was restored. And we don't know the rest of that story, but if that's what she settled for, as a daughter of Abraham, she did not get all that she could have got. Because her body was restored. But what does it say earlier in that story? That she had spent all the money she had on doctors and grown worse. Right? So in her case, restoration should have been her body is restored, all the funds are restored, and then what would have been interest on those funds are restored. That's restoration. So you have to get in your mind that, man, this just happened. Gosh, I just had to do this repair on my car that I wasn't expecting. This thing broke. Well, if it broke, you say, well, things break. I understand things break. But I also understand that if they break, that's not something, it's like that alarm panel outside. I'm not looking for $1,500 to come in here to replace that. I mean, I told you all what it cost. But that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the church to receive, because I had to take off work a full day. I had to spend 4 hours here with the guy the first time and 4 hours the second time. So I had to take off a whole day of work. So I intend for the church to be restored. I intend for me to be restored. I don't take just crumbs. I expect to be restored in Jesus' name. And everything that is owed me has to come in. Now, you can settle for less than that, and that is your business. But don't get mad at me when I don't. Fair enough? All right. So let me say this to you. If you're not winning yet, I think I'm still in some number where I was. Number one on page two. If you're not winning yet, don't you dare give up. God is not through with you. If you've made mistakes and had setbacks, then just remember that God is a God of restoration. And we just talked about what restoration is. And it's time to recapture our divine destinies. We need to recapture our sense of purpose. Right now, people are so freaked out about COVID-19, and I understand. It's terrible. The death rate's terrible. But I did see a statistic this week that 48% of the people that have died from COVID are over 80 years old and had other health problems. 48% of the people are over 80 years old. In the basically the 0 to 30, the percentage is so small it doesn't even really statistically show. So I understand that it's scary. I understand that we can all get all wrapped up in it. I understand that. But when you do that, you are diverting your energy. Yeah, we need to be smart. I'm looking at a bunch of people with masks on. We need to do that. Smarter people than we are tell us that. I don't know if they help or not. That's not my business. That's not my job. My job is to listen to people that know more and take their advice. So, but when we stop dreaming, when we allow ourselves to get so preoccupied with negativity and worry and fear, then the devil wins and we have to stop it. Well, what if you get it? Well, then you get it. But what's worrying about it for 6 months going to do before you got it? I mean, you know, you can't spend your whole life thinking, what if, what if, what if? Because then you don't do anything except walk in fear. It's time to take back what the devil has tried to take away from you. The devil thinks that he can take away what God has promised you, but he does not have that authority to do so. God has given you the authority to possess what is yours. So don't you dare give up. Number two, every dream that God drops into your heart begins with a picture of that dream before it becomes a reality. In other words, you have to see it before on the inside of you before you can have it. And when you study your Bible, you will discover a promise from God. It just comes. And that promise is designed by the Holy Spirit to paint a picture on the inside of you. Words create images. So let's look at a verse. 3 John 1:2. Now, I'm not even reading the whole verse because we can spend the rest of the day just on that. Now, John, at this point, he's the oldest living disciple. He's an old man. He's been through it all. And he says, "Beloved, I pray." The King James says, "Beloved, I wish above all things, above everything else, that you would prosper." And the New King James says, "Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health." Prosper in all things, not just money, all things, life, and be in health. Now, you think, okay, I've read that a million times. Okay, what's it done for you? Well, what do you mean, what's it done for me? I mean, what's it done for you? I don't get it, Rocky. Okay, this is where the breakdown happens. There's so much revelation in those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I think it's 14 words. There's so much revelation right there. So the oldest living disciple tells you, guys, I pray above everything else that you would prosper and be in health. Now, wait a minute. What does that tell me? Well, if the oldest living disciple, the last guy that walked with Jesus, is still alive, tells me that the thing he wants the most for me is for me to prosper and be in health, then I need to get an image inside of me of prosperity and health. Now, I need to get a revelation of that. So then you start looking through your Bible and finding things that talk about prosperity and health. And this is how you build a revelation of the Word of God. You don't just read that and say, yeah, that's great. You read it and you think, okay, tell me what that means. Well, that means that it must be okay with God. And we just read Jabez in the offering, remember? That was all okay with God. And we read here that John's saying, you know, guys, prosper, be in health. And then he does finish that off and says, even if your soul, your mind, will, and emotions prospers. He's got the whole package there. And so I'm guessing that if the last living disciple, the last one that actually walked with Jesus before his life ends, he's telling me that above everything else, I need to be prosperous, I need to walk in health, and I need to have a soul, mind, will, and emotions that are sound. Well, I guess they're kind of important. So I need to ponder that. I need to think about that. See, when we just skim the Bible, it's hard to get revelation knowledge. Because the Holy Spirit will take that scripture, those inspired words, and he'll start to create an image on the inside of you of prosperity and health coming into your life. And you'll begin to see yourself as healthy and prosperous. Well, Rocky, how do you see yourself? As healthy and prosperous. Well, what if you're not healthy or prosperous? I see myself as healthy and prosperous. Well, what if you are sick? I see myself as healthy and prosperous. Well, what if you don't, you know, back when you lost all the money? Well, what I see myself as healthy and prosperous. Please get this. You have to have an image inside of you of who you are. And what happens on the outside of you, I mean, December 2017, you know, I'm laying in a hospital bed, and they're saying all kinds of bad things about me, and I'm not feeling good, I feel terrible. But inside of me, I see myself as healthy and prosperous, because that is who I am. Am I making any sense to anybody? And then what happens is that image then will become perfected through constant fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit. It'll become more real to you than what is happening on the outside of you. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." God's Word is designed to paint images. And y'all have heard me say this before. And I like to say it this way. Your canvas, the Holy Spirit is the artist, and the Word of God is the oil. And as you fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit will paint an image on the canvas of your heart of how God sees you, not how the world sees you. Revelation knowledge of God's Word paints images into our hearts of who we are, what we are, and what we are entitled to as children of God. And that's why God gave us His Word. The Word of God will paint an image on the inside of your heart concerning your purpose. You're this, you're that. In Acts chapter 26, you got the Apostle Paul. And he boldly and authoritatively declares his purpose in life to King Agrippa. Now, let me kind of catch you up on the story. Saul is a guy who, for a living, persecutes Christians and has Christians killed. All right, that's what he does. That's his life. So he's with a group of people, and they're going down the road, heading off to find some other Christians to persecute. And this bright light shines. And now he is going back. He's standing in front of King Agrippa, and he's telling him, here's what he says in Acts 26:14-16. When the light came, we all fell down. And I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future." Number three, Jesus told Paul that he had appeared to him for a particular purpose. And Jesus has a special purpose for your life and my life. Jesus talked to you. He talks to you through his word, by his spirit. He speaks to you in order to give you a purpose. And this is why it's important to spend time with Jesus. He has a purpose for each one of us, but the only way to know that purpose is to spend time with him. As you fellowship with him, you'll begin to have a clear understanding of what he wants you to do with your life. Now, people say, well, you know, I don't know the purpose of God. Well, how much time do you spend with him every week? Well, I go to church once a month. Yeah, Yeah, so all you hear is the world, here's the devil. You hear nothing from God. You spend no time with God. So if you don't spend any time with anybody, how can you get to know them? How can you hear their heart? How? You can't. So if you want to be a Christian like that, you might get saved, you might make heaven. But you're going to live in hell on earth. And Satan's going to make sure you do. So it's not about, you know, just getting through life. It's about spending time with someone that loves you, spending time with someone that cares about you, so that you can know what he wants you to do. Number four, have you ever seen people who seem to have no goals, no dreams, no vision? No purpose. You ever met that person? I think every one of us met that person. These are not the kind of people that you want to hang around with. If you're not careful, they will pull you away from your dream. They will hinder you from fulfilling your purpose. To create the proper atmosphere, say atmosphere. To create the proper atmosphere for your dreams to become a reality, you must associate with the right people. Now that sounds very exclusive in our cancel culture society, doesn't it? Too bad, so sad. Because you got to hang around with the right people. Okay, turn over to page 3. Don't share your dreams with non-dreamers. Don't share impossible things with people who do not believe that all things are possible to those who believe. Don't do it. They will only try to bring you down. They will tell you every reason why it will not work. Do not do that. As Proverbs 13:20 says, you need to walk with the right people. It says this, he who walks with a wise man will be what? Wise. But a companion of fools will be what? Destroyed. Associating with the right kind of people creates the right atmosphere for success. And some people in your life, they might feel called to convince you that you didn't hear from God or that what you heard will never come to pass. And even some family members may try to talk you out of everything God has for you. I don't care if they're your mama, your daddy. I don't care who they are. If they're not a dreamer, don't share your dreams with them. They will do everything they can to kill your dream. Come tell me, and I'll do everything I can to build up your dream. Number 2 on whatever page I'm on. Have you ever noticed that the non-dreamers usually, though, outnumber the dreamers? You ever notice that? It is true. And that means you're going to have to be very selective about who you hang out with on a regular basis. I'm not talking about never talking to that person. I'm not talking about cutting them off. But you can't go out with them. You can't hang around them. You can't listen to the vile poison that's coming out of their mouth telling you why you can't do this and why you can't do that and why this will not work. You cannot afford to do that. Man, we live in such negative times, you don't need anybody else pumping inside of you why you can't do something. Hang out with non-dreamers. And your determination to keep the right company may cost you some so-called friends. You know, how many of you know somebody you might like them, and they may be good people. By good people, I mean a nice person that does nice things, but all that comes out of their mouth is negativity. Y'all know that person? You can't hang around them. You can be nice to them, courteous to them, ask them how they're doing, but you can't hang around them because all they're going to do is pump that poison into you. There's enough stuff going wrong in the world today that we all have to deal with that I don't need somebody else that I really like pumping poison into me that I also have to deal with. If you hear, say amen. Remember, a companion of fools will be destroyed. And if you walk around with foolish people and non-dreamers, you're going to get hurt. They will steal your dreams right out of your heart. Number three, determine that you're going to associate with the right kind of people who will help you create a proper atmosphere for your dreams to come true. Don't run around with faithless people. Don't expose your dreams to people who never dream. Fellowship with those who believe and practice in their own lives the reality that all things are possible to those who believe. So if today if you have to let go of your dreams, if you had let go of your dreams, I want to challenge you to go reclaim them. You may have lost at some point. You know, we're all human. Is everything gone right for every person in this room all the time? No. We all have problems. We all make mistakes. However, if you've sown towards the fulfillment of that dream, then don't you dare let go of what is rightfully yours. There is a harvest out there with your name on it. Say my name on it. It is time for you to claim what is yours. And don't you dare let the devil take it away from you. And the reason I can teach like this and talk about recapturing dreams is because, honestly, you know, from time to time, I've let some go. And you wish you hadn't done that after you do, but we all do it. But there's one thing I've never allowed myself to do, and that is to quit. That is not an option for me. Number four, I heard Jerry Savelle say one time that he was praying about these things, and then here's what the Lord told him. He said, you planted your seed for your dream, and then you let the weeds grow up around it. The seed is still in the ground. It's still there. Now get the weeds off the seed. You're entitled to your harvest. If you refuse to give up, I'll bring it to pass. Now, when I heard him say that, I thought, well, God is no respecter of persons. And if that word applies to him, then I can take that word for myself as well. And I can identify with that word. And I hope you can too. So if God will bring my dreams to pass, he'll bring your dreams to pass. I have dreams that I'm working on. And I know if I will stay the course, say stay the course. I know if I will stay the course and not give up on my dreams, God will bring them to pass. Number five, no matter how things look on the outside, you cannot be moved by what you see. Refusing to be moved by your circumstances is the way that you fulfill your dreams and you finish your course with joy. Now, I'm gonna walk you through something. I've walked you through, I don't know, maybe this may be the third time in the last 10 years we've gone through this. But it fits in this message and it fits in our current state and situation. I'm going to talk to you about seven characteristics of a God-given dream. It's page 4 of your insert. And we're going to look at it through the life of Moses. We're going to start in Exodus 3, 7 through 11. And the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, to bring them up from that land to a good land, a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all the otherites. Verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I am going to send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? All right. So Moses has seen the burning bush. He went over to it. God starts talking to him and says, buddy, you're the guy I'm going to use. I need you to head out to Egypt. Now, in Egypt, Moses has a warrant out for his arrest because he murdered someone. He's an ex-prince. He's been exiled. He's not really in good favor there. He's safe on the backside of the Been there 40 years. He's about 80 years old now. And, you know, at 80 years old, most people are thinking about maybe I'll start thinking about retiring. Not me, but most people. And so he's you know, he's sitting there at 80 years old, and God says, make the trek, cross the desert, go set my people free. Moses says, who am I? Now, some people think, oh, Moses was so humble. Actually, Moses was so ignorant. Who was Moses? At this point in his life, who was Moses? Somebody talk to me.
Shepherd.
He was a shepherd, but who was Moses? Go deeper. Go into his lineage.
Jew.
He was a Hebrew, which made him a son of who?
Abraham.
Ah. It made him a son of who?
Abraham.
I'll say it again. It made him a son of who?
Abraham.
As a son of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham, he should have known who he was. Mm-hmm. Who am I? You're Abraham's descendant. I've already told you I'm going to bless you and protect you and heal you. That's who you are. So God says to you, I need you to start this business, go talk to that person, give this money to that organization, do this, do that. And you say, well, who am I? Well, open your Bible and find out. You're a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, an heir according to Abraham's promise. Moses is like, oh, I'm so humble. He's not being humble, he's being ignorant. And I see that happening in the world today. Pastor Marguerite and I were talking about that before service. I have no idea who they are. And so he's asking a question that seems logical. But he should have known the answer already. Who am I? Well, I'm a child of God. All right. So that's where he is, and that's what he's done. So the first number one characteristic of a God-given dream is this. It establishes your identity. Moses asked God, who am I? He's seeking identity. Should have already known, but he's seeking identity. God wanted Moses to become established in his identity in him. Which he had been a good Jew, he would have already done that, right? Your identity as God is vital to fulfilling your dream. It lets you know that God's the author of the dream. You need to understand this. This is number one. You need to understand this. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you will never fulfill your vision in Christ. Ignorance is bliss. And honestly, most Christians have no idea who they are in Christ. They've never been taught. They don't know. And since they don't know, you know, there's a saying that says ignorance is bliss. Well, it is not so bliss. Because the Bible says my people are destroyed without it for a lack of knowledge. All right? So the first thing that you have to have a God-given dream and see it come to pass is you got to have an identity of who you are. Who are you? Who are you? The second thing to a God-given dream, it establishes authority. Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and you say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. All authority that you will ever need to fulfill your dream in life is in the I am who backs you. So, your number one thing is what? Identity. You got to know who you are in Christ. The number two thing to fulfilling a God-given dream or vision is what? Authority. You got to know what's yours in the name of Jesus. All right, you see how this builds. I got to know who I am. And then once I know who I am, I got to know how to use the power that I have available. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The third thing is a God-given dream establishes credibility. And again, Moses, Exodus, we'll move on to chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. But Moses protested again, because Moses don't want to go do this. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what's in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake, and Moses jumped back. Well, we'd probably jump back too. And then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. Now, see, right there took some faith. Because, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to reach out and grab a rattlesnake by the, you know, it wasn't a rattlesnake, but, you know, okay. But Moses had enough faith to do that. Of course, you are talking to a burning bush that's not burning, so I guess you might have. So Moses reached out and grabbed it and turned it back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. And then they will believe that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, really appeared to you. So here Moses is looking for credibility. When you have a God-given dream and you know your divine destiny, some people are going to ask you, what right do you have to do what you are doing? They may be skeptical of the fact that you are endeavoring to accomplish something well beyond your natural means. They may even criticize you for surpassing their expectations. However, when you have a dream, whether you have the praise of men or not, your credibility comes from God. He's the one that gives you the dream. So, what's the first one? Okay, I'm going to talk about me, because I can talk about me and you won't get mad at me. So, first one's credibility. Identity. Second one? Authority. Third one? Okay. So, let's look at two different things. After the 9/11 thing, I looked for something to do for a year and a half, and I couldn't find anybody to hire me, no matter how many interviews I went on. And so, finally, through a series of events, and God's instruction, I opened an insurance agency in financial services. So I'm doing insurance, I'm doing financial services, and almost everybody I know, you know, it's hard to make it in that business. You're not a salesman. You can't sell. You could not sell water to someone dying in the desert. You know, and you know, you're not, you don't have that kind of charisma. You don't have, you know, you're just not a guy. You need to step back, and some of this was family, some of this was friends, some of this was mentors. You need to step back and get a different perspective and not do that. What's the first one? Identity. I know who I am in Christ. What's the second one? Authority. I know the authority I have in Jesus' name. So if the, and the third one is what? Okay. So if my identity's right, and if credibility, meaning I understand who I am, and part of my credibility is I have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God, and that the Holy Spirit will teach me what I need. And what's the third one? Then my credibility comes from the Holy Spirit saying, this is where you need to go. And shutting out all of those voices. It's the same with the church. Who are you? You know, who are you to pastor a church? I don't know. I'm just the one God told to go do it. And I fought it as hard and as long as I could. So what's your identity? I know what my identity is. What's the second one? Authority. I know my authority in Christ. Credibility? Well, our lives changed, whether in this room or through some other access. All right? So let's move on to the fourth thing that happens. Number four, a God-given dream establishes what? Ability. Yeah. See, Moses had a habit of talking about his inability, but when God gave him a dream, it established ability. So when you have a dream, then like Moses, you'll also have God's divine ability to get the job done. So, in my insurance and financial service business, God, I knew who I was, I had the credibility, I had the power, I had all that stuff. But somebody now, what's number four? Somebody's got to give me the ability. Because you know what? All those people, everything they've said up until that point in my life is right. They're not lying. They just don't see the vision. And so where did the ability come from? It came from me understanding those first three. And understanding those first three would give me number four, which would be the ability to get the job done. Amen. All right? Same with the church. Let's go on to number five now. The fifth thing is a God-given dream is establishes courage. You know, when you're, well, let's read it. So Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law. "Please let me return to my relatives in Egypt," Moses said. "I don't even know if they're still alive. Go in peace." So after a long discussion in which Moses was very extremely honest with God, he finally accepted the dream that God had for him. And in verse 13 it says, "And Moses went." Now, the dream established within Moses the courage to do what he was told to do. Courage enables us to go after what God says is ours. So let's talk about the insurance business, financial services business. Those are two tough businesses. So what's number one? I'm going to keep drilling y'all in these to you. Identity. All right? So I know my identity. Number two? I know my authority is going to come from God. Number three? My credibility is going to come by God showing himself real. Number four? He's going to give me the ability to do that. Number five? Understand, when you've got a year and a half without a job and all the money's gone and you are opening a business that requires you to have an office and at least one employee, so those two things together with the other expenses, when I first opened my business, was about $60,000 a year. That doesn't pay me anything. That's just what it took to open the business. I didn't have $60,000. I didn't have $600. That was anything spare. Courage. Because everything they said was true. But everything God said was truth. You're going to open a church? You? You know, you? And I'm like, I know, me? You know. Courage. All right, let's move on. What's the sixth thing? Boldness, yeah. Exodus 5, 1 and 2. After this presentation to Israel's leaders, so he went to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron then went and spoke to Pharaoh. They told him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may have a festival in my honor in the wilderness." "Is that so?" reported Pharaoh. "Well, and who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." See, Moses is no longer fearful. He's not afraid to step out in faith. He's no longer the man that used to say, "I'm not and I can't do." This man is now boldly demanding that Pharaoh let God's people go. So what's number six? Boldness. Number six is boldness. You know, I had to have all of the first five, and those are all great. Having courage is great. But if you don't have the boldness to go exercise that courage and step out, and it doesn't matter who says what to you about what, you don't give a rip. You heard from God. You know who you are in Christ. You know where your wisdom comes from, where your favor comes from, where your identity comes from, where your courage comes. You know all that. Then you have the ability to be bold, even though it is totally outside your comfort zone. I used to call people and you know, because I'm pretty much, I got one employee that works during the day, but, you know, I'd call people at night, you know, and I'm just, it's, this is still back 19 years ago. So, I mean, 16 years ago, 17 years ago, 2003, 2004. And you know, so I'm calling people at night, cold calling people. Because I got no other way to get business. I don't know anybody that's going to, you know. And so, it was horrible. But, you know, after about 600 calls, you get to where you really don't care anymore. You know, it's like you're just dialing for dollars, and you know, it's just, you know, you really can't do it anymore with all do not call us stuff. You really, it's just impractical anymore. But you know, in 2003, 2004, you could still do that. You know, when I first became a guy, this was still the white pages was still being printed. And so, or it may have been an old one he had, I don't know. But I was in my, the guy who recruited me, I was in his office, and I said, well, where do I get leads? He took out this old White Pages. For young people who don't know what White Pages is, everybody in a city that had a phone was listed in the White Pages. So if you needed to call Joe Smith, you'd look up Joe Smith, and we're 45 of them if you lived in Dallas, and you're like, okay, which one is it? And, but anyway, you know, so he said, well, here's your leads. You know, and so, and I ended up doing things online and using my background in IT to be able to do all that. But it takes boldness and courage and a resolve that I know I heard from God. And I know this is hard, and I know this is horrible, and I know I hate making these cuts. But like I said, after, you know, 500, 600, 700, you don't care. You know, you're just on to the next person. You know, you're used to being griped out, cussed at, whatever. And, you know, then you finally get somebody that's nice, and that's just the way it was. So, number seven, and the last one, is a God-given dream establishes... Oh, yes. Perseverance. Yeah. Say perseverance. Yeah. You got to be willing to see. And if you look at the story of Moses throughout, Moses is after this, you know, he continually approached Pharaoh with no fear, no doubt. He developed perseverance. He had what I call a no-quit attitude. He will not give up on his dream until it becomes a reality. Now, I get people ask me this all the time because I'm accused of being a workaholic. I'm accused of, you know, lots of things. And I do love to work. I do. It's just in me. It's who I am. I work. But if you don't have perseverance, you can know who you are. You can have courage. You can get the ability. But if you're not willing to, through the first 150 calls you got hung up on and cussed at, and you're still going to make that 151st call, and you don't want to, and you're discouraged, or, you know, you open a church and you have a big attendance the first Sunday, and then, you know, after that, for the next 6 weeks, it goes down to, you know, 40 people. You know, what are you going to do? And then it goes back up, and it goes back down, and it goes back up, and it goes back down. But what are you going to do? You just say, well, I miss God, and you walk away. Or you persevere. And you push. And you push. Well, things aren't going my way right now. Well, okay. Welcome to life. You know, that's just how it is. You need to print off the... I mean, I put it on that last page. Some of you need to keep it in front of you. You need to put it on your bathroom mirror with the other things I've always said you need to put on your bathroom mirror so that, you know, every day you look at it. And, of course, if you did that by now, your bathroom mirror would probably be full. But you can have a little space for you. My point is, it's easy to say, yeah, God told me. But it's hard to get through step seven. Because Satan's going to fight you on step one, step two, step three, step four, every step of the way. And even today, you know, this has been a challenging year. And, I mean, you know, because of COVID and because of all the stuff and people doing lots of weird things and people can't pay their bills and, you know, you're losing business because people just don't have jobs and you can't, you know, you're going to eat or pay insurance. You know, I mean, you know, you're probably going to eat. And then, you know, if they stay out of insurance for over 30 days, now they don't have prior insurance and they call and they get mad at you because, you know, their insurance is like $1 billion because you have no prior. And then you want to go to a little, it's just not good. So it's challenging. You know, the 2 months I sit here and talk to the camera, I mean, there's not a lot here because most people are still doing that. But when I sit for 2 months and just talk to a camera every Sunday, that was challenging. Well, do you just turn off the light and go home? Or do you persevere? Do you have the courage? Do you have what it takes to see it through? Or do you quit? Well, this is not a room full of quitters. This is a room full of people that just do what you got to do to get it through. You trust God. You believe God. You move on with God. If you look down at the bottom of page 4, number 1, God's looking for believers who are not afraid to persevere. He's looking for people who are willing to talk more about what God can do than what they cannot do. God's divine ability is available to anyone who's willing to take that step of faith and follow after what He has called them to do and refuses to quit. Are you willing to take the step? If so, then get ready to see your dreams come to pass, but not without a fight. And guys, it is our time. You know, after 9/11/2001, I lost all my financial resources and the ability for a long time to make any more money. And at that time, I decided I had to live by faith like never before. And it took over a decade. How long is a decade? It took over a decade to get things back on track. But as always, since I refused to quit and not whine about how unfair it was to God through all this time, everything all worked out. And you say, well, Rocky, it's been about 19 years now. We're heading towards 19 years. Are you financially back to where you were before 9/11? No. Well, are you going to settle for where you are today? No. You see, here's the deal. I'm not trying to be who I was in 2001. I have different objectives and different priorities today. If I was who I was in 2001... I would have never started this church because I'd be on the road 4 or 5 days a week. I wouldn't be here. But does that mean I'm satisfied with where I am? Yes and never. Now, that doesn't mean I'm unsatisfied, but I know as a dreamer, I will never finish the race and I will never give up as long as there's breath in my body. I have a long road in front of me filled with God only knows what. And life is fun, and life is challenging, and at times life is hard. Life is ever changing. Have you ever noticed that? And it never stops. And I would not have it any other way. But you see, I know a secret. It's number 2 on your insert, and I'm finished with this. I know that as long as I keep the dream alive and I don't give up, I will win and win and win and win, and the devil will lose and lose and lose and lose. And my God will continue to bless as I continue to move forward in my dream. I am a victor in Christ. I don't know any other way to live, nor do I want to. So the question comes down to, how about you? What do you want out of life? What are you willing to do to have the kind of life I'm talking about? You just going to suck it up and do whatever your friends say? You just going to listen to those crazy news people talking about how the whole world's coming to an end? Well, I know when the world's coming to an end. I can open my book to Revelation, and I can tell you exactly when the world's coming to an end. And this ain't it. And I know it ain't a word. But it communicates. This is not it. I know who I am in Christ. I know where my ability comes from, where my courage comes from, where my perseverance comes from, where my boldness comes from. Remember, you're talking about a guy who used to walk around high school with his head down all the time because I didn't want to look at anybody. That's how insecure I was. But when you get to know this guy named Jesus, not just as some religious figure that'll save you, but it as your personal Savior, and you really kind of start getting to know Him, He will transform you from this sheepish little person to a lion. And He'll drop things inside of you, and as long as you refuse to let them go, He won't let them go either. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with what God's told you to do? Are you discouraged? Well, you know, I understand. There's a lot of discouraged people out there. I hear it in their voices. I get it. But then at the same time, if you go by the name of Christ, I don't get it. It doesn't have to be that way. There is so much more to you than you realize there is. Any other way to live. Life is crazy. I don't mean that as a negative confession. It's just crazy. But I would not have it any other way. I get every morning not having a clue what that day is going to hold. You get up, you put your boots on, you strap on what you got to strap on, and I'd say put your guns on, but you know that's not kosher today. But you know, unless it's in country Sunday, I'm wearing mine anyway. But you know, you do what you got. You go saddle that horse. Yeah, I know somebody in Europe's going to watch this and think, they saddle horses? No, it's a metaphor, okay? So, you know, you saddle that horse, you get on that guy, and you ride. And then you get bunked off. And you put your tail between your legs and go home crying? No, you grab that thing by the bridle, you grab that saddle horn, that saddle horn, you put your leg in there, and you jump right back on that dude, and you ride. And you don't complain about it or complain about it. You just get it done in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, you got to know Him, or none of this is for you. You are on your own. Good luck. But we can get you straightened out and set on the right path. All you got to do is accept Jesus and then get to know Him. So if you don't know Jesus as Lord, or you know who He is, but you really haven't been doing what I'm talking about, and you want to rededicate your life to Him, we can do that too. So if you're watching or listening to me, just acknowledge this before God. If you're in this room, just lift a hand. We're going to just say a simple prayer. Y'all know the routine. You know, nobody judges anybody here. We're all people that have good things and things we need to work on. Repeat this prayer after me if you would. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive the victory, the first victory that you give me, which is the ability to be born again and become a child of God. I receive that victory through what Jesus did for me on the cross. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died and He was raised from the dead for me. Jesus, I receive what you did for me. I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. It's your name I pray. Amen. Still every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning or again watching or listening, I just want to speak a word over you if this applies to you. If you're in a position where you feel like you've lost focus, you've allowed too many things to crowd in, And you see your dreams just all wishy-washy and you're not really focused and you just, well, this message just spoke to you and you realize you got to get yourself back on a laser beam track to fulfilling your dreams. If that's you and you want to say, Lord, I repent for letting my dreams get scattered. I call them back in Jesus' name. And I ask you to give me the strength and the ability to see them through. If that's you this morning, just lift a hand. Thank you for all the hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over these hands and over these hearts. And I speak courage and boldness and stability and wisdom and favor. I thank you, Lord God, for helping each person in this room that raised their hand and each person that's watching or listening that has acknowledged that you just bring a spirit of boldness upon them, a spirit of integrity upon them, a spirit of focus upon them. Help them to understand that you are the one that gave the dream. And you are the one that will help them fulfill the dream. And you are the one that will give them every tool they need to accomplish what you've called them to do, if they will just stay focused on you. So I speak focus, I speak determination, and I speak perseverance over each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you guys being here this morning that are here, and those of you watching, and then those of you that will watch during the week, thank you for tuning in as well. We're grateful for the technology to be able to do this, and for those of you that have joined us here live today. Don't forget, those of you that have youth, 4 o'clock Zoom call with Pastor Zach this afternoon. If you don't know how to do that, it's zach@calvarynewlife.cc, and he can give you the information, send you the link. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you, praise you, to live in the blessings of God, to walk in the authority of the Holy Spirit, to understand who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ and what that makes us. I thank you for all that you've done. I just love and praise you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you, give you peace. Angels of God, go into this next week to prepare a way. I thank you for watching over us and protecting us and helping us. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, wonderful week in the name of Jesus. And we'll see you back next Sunday. Amen. You are dismissed. Do you have my thing?